Throughout the Bible, there are many sequences and patterns, either in word or thematically. A sequence is an ordered list, and a pattern is like an underlying rule or a repeatable structure that regulates. A sequence is actual data, and a pattern is the idea of rule behind it. A sequence may or may not have a pattern, whereas a pattern generates one or more sequences. I think it's necessary to give an example. A sequence with a pattern would mirror the powerful triplet from the love chapter, faith, hope, love, as taken from 1 Corinthians 13:13, which is three that belong together, though not a pure pattern, but definitely a sequence with a pattern.
Faith, hope, love.
Meaning, they form a natural progression in our lives. We believe, faith. We look forward to God's promises, hope. We live in self-giving love, the greatest. The triplet is both an ordered list, a sequence, with love being the ultimate goal and also the underlying rule of who we are in Christ, who is the personification of the pattern. Faith, hope, love. Think of the three as traveling companions. If you find faith, rest assured hope and love are probably somewhere nearby. They go together. Do you get it?
Faith, hope, love.
I love the sequences found in the Bible, and I'm absolutely persuaded that the Lord intentionally put them together. God didn't put them together for nothing. In fact, many people say,
"If God would simply tell me what to do, plainly, I would certainly do it."
Well, there are a multitude of patterns and sequences that I think are quite plain, and God has given those to us to fashion ourselves after if we will search, and even pointed out some we should not reflect, like Ahab or Absalom. The righteous patterns are created from the heart of God Himself, and hold an overarching importance to which we really need to give our attention. It's more than just a descriptive list, and many scholars, one of which I am not, call it dimensionally symbolic of love, which cannot be measured or contained. It's about the four dimensions of the cross, left, right, top, and bottom. His love is infinitely beyond the beyond, and has no left, right, up, down, front, back, nor a side to side.
Beyond the beyond.
So today, I have a wonderful sequence to which I hope you can relate. It's an example of how we were far, and then God brought us near, going from exclusion to intimate belonging. Sort of like, thematically speaking, the parable of the prodigal son who was far and came near. Ephesians 2:19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household. Do you see it? We were once strangers and aliens, and have become, by the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, citizens and saints. Stranger, alien, citizen, saint. Do you see the progression from death to life in it? Ephesians 2:15, But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. When we were strangers, we had very limited rights, acting as complete outsiders or temporary visitors, no legal protection, no standing in the community, and were often viewed with suspicion. As aliens, things got a little better in that we had some ability to do business and settle down, but still lacked any rights, lacked full protection under the law, and were not members of the community. As aliens, we often paid some form of fees for the right to live there, but had no political voice. Ah, yes, but now you've met Jesus, purchased with His blood, and boom,
boom.
Just like that, suddenly we find ourselves in a new, never lived in place of family reality. Suddenly, we have standing, not as outsiders, but now have the status of citizen. And all the broad landscape of God possibilities open before us in a great sweep of the Father's hand called salvation. Now, as citizens, we are also saints. Being a citizen is represented as a vertical relationship with God, and being a saint is a horizontal relationship with the family, the household of God. Citizens and saints get full rights, full protection, full privileges, and can fully participate in the community, including the responsibilities for something like taxes. It is a strong legal and social status God has given us. As citizens and saints, we belong to the entire body of Christ. These wonderful titles point to our shared fellowship and reminds us that we are intimately connected to every believer in God's house as blood relatives, joined together by the blood, sacrifice, and resurrection of Jesus, and are given the privileged status of firstborn in His family. Get that. Firstborn. No aunts, no uncles, no grandmother or grandfather, but firstborn brothers and sisters in Christ. And notice He calls us citizens and saints. He didn't say anything about being a born-again sinner. He calls us saints. Saints. Take note of the entire idea, which starts in Ephesians 2:11 and continues through to verse 22. Paul is purposely painting a dramatic before and after picture. Before, no rights, no protection, no real belonging. We were outsiders. After, full citizenship in God's kingdom plus intimate family membership in God's household as saints. Say it with me, saints. Saints. Paul is making all efforts for us, the believers, to see the social reality behind the words. Paul probably stacks the sequence in Ephesians 2:19 for emotional impact so we can
comprehend the incomprehensible.
Do you see it in the sequence and or pattern? Through Christ, we are transformed from strangers and aliens to citizens and saints as the family members in God's household, living stones being built together into a holy temple supported by the seven pillars of heavenly wisdom. Proverbs 9:1. What are those seven pillars? Maybe James 3:17 spells it out specifically. You should go read that. Herein is the support structure of the temple. Who is us? Wisdom builds her house with seven pillars. Proverbs 9:1. God builds His temple, us, with the seven qualities of heavenly wisdom. When you combine Proverbs 9:1 with James 3:17, we get a pattern, an underlying rule of character. Pure, peace-loving, gentle, reasonable, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. See it. Not just what we are, but how we are. It's not rules to keep, but someone to be. Friends, this is not just about individual improvement. It's about God creating a beautiful, stable, unified dwelling place for Himself, where His presence lives by the Spirit. It's about family and being a team. The seven pillars are the internal character structure that holds this temple strong and allows us to grow. In short, we are becoming the house that wisdom builds, a people who reflect the character of Christ so that God can dwell among us in fullness, having gone from far to near, or death to life by the sacrifice of Jesus. Now citizens and saints. We were strangers and aliens, and now are citizens and saints. Again, our greatest strength against darkness is to come into the likeness of the Son. I'm going to be repeating the following throughout the series. It's not rules to keep, but someone to be. Be the people. I'm Social Porter for Living in His Name Ministries.